Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life Radio Show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, and certified coach, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and well-being in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Welcome, everyone, and I hope you're ready to power your life today with two incredible guests that are going to be upcoming in a few minutes. And most of us need a little push in terms of motivation, and so we're going to talk about motivation and talk about what motivates you, and if you're not motivated, we're going to get you motivated today. And we're going to talk about success, too, because I think that everybody wants success, and everybody defines success differently. So it's about what kind of success you want, and are you daring to dream and making sure that when you're dreaming, you're going to keep those dreams alive. So that's really important. Upcoming in Philadelphia is an incredible LeaderCast event that's happening May 4th, and it's sponsored by a dear colleague and friend of mine, Janice Coleman. And leadership is really what's needed in the 21st century. And this is a important event for leaders, beginning leaders, experts are going to be here to discuss how leaders make choices. And it's for emerging, experienced leaders. Learn more about making the right choices and go to janicecoleman.com/LeaderCast and find out more information about how you can register for this really exciting upcoming event. Be there. I will. So, folks, we're going to switch gears. I told you that it's really important to get motivated. Some people can't even get motivated to get out of bed in the morning. We have an incredible person here, an incredible expert, Canadian-born Richard Norris, who's a self-leadership and performance speaker and coach, and he has a way of distilling practical messages into engaging stories and examples that entertain, educate, and elicit results. He's Europe's foremost speaker and coach on transformational self-leadership, and he impacts individuals, teams, businesses, and organizations for greater success. Along Richard's own journey of success, he's been an author, husband, father, competitive swimmer, triathlete, veterinarian, army officer, award-winning business and executive coach, applauded speaker, writer, and so much more. And his recent book, which we'll talk about, is called Hoof It, 7 Key Lessons on Your Journey of Success. And this is an appealing metaphor of success. He's co-edited for Ask the Experts, Lessons Learned from the Recession, and he's also contributed to the Business Experts Guide to Small Business Success. Richard has also presented on how to be a part-time parent with full-time kids. And those of you who have kids know that it's full-time, and it continues to be full-time for a long time. So without further ado, Richard, are you there?
I certainly am. Thank you, Dr. White. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
It's my pleasure. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from my office in the Highlands of Scotland.
Okay, that's great. I knew you were in Europe somewhere, and I thought it was in Scotland. But so, folks, I hope you're listening. We have Richard, who's going to talk to us. Now, you sent me something that I love, and so I wanted us to really focus a little bit on that first, because we're going to talk about motivation, Richard. And you sent me something that says, how to motivate anyone in 7 minutes with a cup of coffee. That really struck me, and with that, I decided you had to be on this show.
Well, that's good. It's one of those eye-catching or ear-catching or heart-catching titles, I guess.
No, it was great. And you have such incredible experience in success and in motivation and leadership. So what? So tell us about what that particular phrase means, and how do you motivate anybody with a cup of coffee or over a cup of coffee?
Yeah, it's more over a cup of coffee than with a cup of coffee, because I actually, quite honestly, I hate coffee as a drink. I love it as in food, but I can't drink the stuff. But the whole thing is, it does. I guess really, Dr. White, the key thing here is, once people understand how people are wired, it doesn't take that long to figure them out and help them figure out what their motivators are. Because really, one of the places I always come from is, and I probably like yourself, you sometimes get up there and get asked and say, "Oh, you're the motivational speaker," and I always dispel that myth quite quickly. I said, "Listen, I cannot motivate anyone other than myself. What I can do is I can inspire people, and from that inspiration, they can internalize that and turn it into the motivator that they need. So it goes through a process. You have to digest it, the inspiration first, before you can become motivated." And the 7 minutes really is, I tend to use number 7 is my favorite number, but it can literally take that long to actually tap into what a person's hot buttons are. Because I'm guessing that a lot of people out there, particularly those that are in leadership, because I've certainly asked a lot of leaders when I do workshops or in coaching and say, "Do you know the motivators, the hot buttons for every person on your team?" And they usually they say one of two things. They say, "No." Or they say, "Yeah, I think so." And I said, "So really, you don't have a clue." And I said, "Okay, so now we have to go into this." I said, "So what value would it be if you could actually figure it out in a very short space of time?" And they all say, "Oh, yeah, bring it on."
You know, I think that's really important. And you mentioned something I want to go back to, but you said that you can motivate people once you know how they're wired. Now, let's talk to our listening audience about what that means, and then we'll get into the hot buttons, because I think this is fascinating, and I think people want to know more. Are you there?
I'm certainly here.
Okay, did you hear what I did? We're having a little delay here. Can you talk about how people are wired, what that means, and how you find out that information?
Yeah, no, it's relatively straightforward to figure out. You just really, it's about you having the right framework for it. And I guess one of the ways I describe it is understanding that, especially if we're talking in a work scenario, I'll start with that one, and then we'll extrapolate beyond that. Because most people show up at work, Dr. White, and what's one of the reasons why they show up at work, or what is the reason they show up at work?
They get a paycheck.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And what do they do with that paycheck?
Spend it.
Yeah, but and more specifically, what are they spending it on? Generally, I guess.
Well, they spend it on their house, on their family,
yeah,
on living expenses, and even on getting to work.
Yeah, exactly, but essentially, people show up at work because the paycheck is actually for them to live the lifestyle that they can live right now, and hopefully, as it grows, the lifestyle they aspire to. And, I was presenting at a conference recently, and you could see these people, mostly HR and management types and human resources types, and I said, "Why do people show up at work?" I said, "Guess what? They're not showing up for your company." I said, "They're showing up for their lifestyle. People are not working for you. They're working for your lifestyle." And regrettably, most organizations, when they talk about motivating their people to performance, they miss that critical point. They focus on how do we motivate them in their work scenario. But the one key thing which I identify when I'm working with these people is that, listen, and I'm sure you probably agree with this, Dr. White, and some of your listeners as well, if not all of them, is you show up at work, but every part of your life shows up at work too. You're not just there sitting in your management role. You're not just there starting in a clerical role or whatever it might be. You're bringing your role as a mom, a dad, a brownie leader, a Cub Scout leader, or, head of the PTA. All those roles show up. And the organizations generally only focus on people in developing them in their professional role, but they forget the other ones are integral to who they are. And so
you know,
the real critical – sorry, carry on.
No, I was just, talking. Go ahead. I'll ask you after.
No, I was just going to say that. So the key thing is to actually link all those up. So I look at it from it's a 3-point approach. You've got to look at people. And first question I ask is, what are the top 3 roles in your life, including work, where you invest most of your time, energy, and money? We need to know those. And then the second point is, or the second triangulation on that, is to say, okay, so based on that, we need to understand what are your personal goals, what are your business goals, i.e. your work-related goals, and therefore all interlinked into that is what are your personal development goals, because those 3, again, all of that is interdependent.
Now, if a company wanted to motivate people and they created incentives that really were not just work incentives, Richard, but were incentives that really talked to the family and were taking a look at the lifestyle, wouldn't that be a way of motivating and taking a look at just what you're talking about, that those are the important aspects to people's lives and they might respond to that more differently, right?
Yeah, I think yes, and I think more organizations are cottoning on to that. That's part of it. But you know, if you really want to tailor it, you've got to have a very big menu, because you're dealing with a human variable, and every person that's employed in an organization is coming from a different experience, different context, different results of decisions, etc. So whilst they're doing their best organization to do that, they also need to get underneath that and find out exactly the reasons why. Those might be important, because there'll be some lifestyle issue behind that, which, unless that's labeled, put in their file, and is kept to the fore by their manager, their leader, whatever, they can lose touch. And then, much like the moonshot, unless you are aware, you can you might think you're heading to the moon, but the team thinks you're heading to Mars after a period of time, because you're not quite aligned.
Well, I would think that alignment also means polling your people, your employees, and getting a sense of what their needs are and what they're looking for in terms of lifestyle and what their lifestyle is, so that you can gear and maybe customize some of those programs and or incentives to really match their needs.
Yeah, and that's absolutely right. And regrettably, I think only a portion of the smarter companies are doing that. The less smarter companies aren't. And the more people that catch on to that, whether that's in North America or in Europe or wherever, the more effective you'll have a performing workforce that's, everybody's in a happy place. You know, you can go on to Google, you can list, the top 100 companies to work for, and that's voted by their people, and they are usually the types of organizations, and they've got that list just about for every country on the planet. And you look at those companies, they've really plugged in and understand that they really need to understand what the why is, why people are showing up at work, and more specifically, as I've described, is what are their lifestyle aspirations.
You know, I think that's real. I think you really have something here, because it seems so basic, and yet, like you said, many companies are just missing it, and therefore they're really experiencing absenteeism and low morale and lack of motivation, because they're not plugging into just what we're talking about and what you're presenting. I want to switch gears a little bit, because, again, I love the title of your book, Hoof It, 7 Key Lessons on Your Journey of Success. So let's shift gears a little bit, because we're pressed for time. And first,
sure,
Let's talk about the impetus for this book and then delve into it a little bit.
Sure.
So what was
the impetus?
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, the impetus really was based on all my personal experience of facing life challenges and business challenges and coaching a lot of business owners and seeking out people who are success, or at least researching what made them different. Then for me anyway, I know there's loads of recipes of success and things out there, but I'd identified there were 7 things that sort of stood out for me as far as attributes with successful companies, successful leaders, successful teams. And when they had all 7 of these attributes in strength, the odds are stacked in their favor that they'll be a success. So I'd identified the 7, and then I said, well, I could write, and I know you're a multiple author. I have an authored as many books as you, yes. But I thought, well, the best books that I ever read are the ones that tell a story, the business metaphors or the like, because unfortunately there's a lot of dry books out there, have lots of good messages, but they get lost in the left brain delivery, and that creates what I describe as people who think with a limp. And so the important thing is to help them to integrate, and, you know, historically, anthropologically, you know, history was passed on through word of mouth by story. So I set myself the challenge, okay, let's write this as a story. And it really came down to, I was a veterinarian, so I relate to animal metaphors a lot, and a lot of people do. So, and some of the best business books I've read have had sort of like animal-related metaphors in them. So the whole story was delivered around a migrating an orphan calf, orphan wildebeest calf, on the annual migration of the wildebeest on the Serengeti. I was toying within the idea of, was it going to be wildebeest or was it going to be salmon? But as the person was guiding me on that said, mammals are far more emotive than fish. So I chose that. And the interesting thing is, as soon as I did that and I researched the annual migratory patterns of the wildebeest, it mapped out that the seven lessons actually matched, overlapped nicely the annual migration. So, and then all I had was the outline on one piece of paper, and pretty well the rest of the book came off my pen completely inspired. I don't remember writing it.
Well, so I don't know if we'll be able to go through all of them, and let's not go through all of them so that people can go
sure.
get this book, and but let's tease them a little bit and just
okay,
give us some of the lessons of the key lessons, and on, and also I want to talk a little bit about some of your journey too, because you've had a fascinating life here.
Yeah, it wasn't one I originally would have intended, but it's just the way I've been led. So let's put it that way. The lessons in the book, I guess the one I get asked the most, the first question I get is, you know, if there's one attribute that if somebody's going to be a success, what must it be? And I've had various debates on this, but I said, in the book, it relates to the title Hoof It, which is all about being committed to your the direction you're heading. And it really is commitment. I said, unless you've got 100% commitment, don't bother. You know, when I owned a business coaching franchise, and I used to have other franchisees approach me or a potential franchise and say, you know, if there's one tip that you can give me about potentially joining the organization, I said, listen, unless you're 100% committed to this, don't bother. Because, you know, you probably hear people use the word try all the time. I always coach that word out of the vocabulary of my clients because try is just an escape clause. I said, you know, it's either an absolute or it's a must. I said, unless it's that, I said, I'm not interested. So commitment is one of the absolutes that has to be in place. You know, you got to be committed to the direction and driving it forward and achieving whatever it is you're looking to achieve. And another attribute is embrace change, because change is inevitable, but growth is optional. If you're not prepared to change, you're going to stagnate. You know, just think about the Dead Sea. It's the lowest part on the planet where water flows into. Nothing can flow out of it, so it's dead, stagnant, it's toxic. And, you know, if you're not prepared to change, I've done some head math. You know, if everybody in the audience never changed their underwear, we'd all have no friends. And, you know, I figured it out. I've changed my underwear 16,000 times in my life. If I never changed it once since the day I was born, I would be constricted. I probably wouldn't last very long. And I'd have no friends and no clothes, and you know, I wouldn't be a pleasant person to be around. So it's important to change, because, you know, change is inevitable. We're seeing it on the face of the earth, and that's a premise based on nature. You know, all the metaphors that I use are based on nature, because nature has been getting it right far longer than man's been theorizing and trying to figure it out.
And not only are you basing it on nature, you have experience being a veterinarian, and you have some incredible stories as a veterinarian. So give us one story, and then let's tell people how they can get a hold of this book and contact you and get more information, because I think that there's so much to this and so much to success, and I think you have some really strong answers.
Yeah, well, thank you. One story which relates actually to the first lesson in the book, which I'll share that one, so I'll tantalize a little bit more, is the importance of having a strong and clear vision. And when I was doing my postgraduate in veterinary ophthalmology, a particular area of interest of me was raptors, you know, birds like eagles, hawks, and things. And we all hear the expression, Dr. White, about having an eagle eye, but it wasn't until I did the study that I actually figured out what that actually meant. And there's something very unique about the vision of an eagle. If everybody who's listening in actually stuck their finger out in front of their face and looked and stared at their finger, you'd see your finger in focus, and then everything outside of that would be roughly in focus, sort of out of focus because it moves out in a bit blurry because all your attention's on your finger. But when an eagle actually looks, the design of its eye ensures that everything in its field of view is absolutely in focus. So unlike us, we can only focus on one point. Everything they see is absolutely focused, and plus the design of their eye is actually telescopic, hence they can be flying at 15,000 feet and see a mouse moving because they can actually see it. And that's one of the things which always fascinated me. There's just so many amazing lessons and accuracies that are in nature, and all we have to do is explore them to uncover the secrets and then apply them to our own lives. But you can get for those people who are listening interested in the book, and the added benefit in the book is I've actually built in an action plan within the book. So by the end of you completing, particularly the seven chapters on the seven lessons, your listeners will have a 21-step action plan to progress their own journey of success. So you can go to Amazon, just look for Hoof It, Seven Key Lessons on Your Journey of Success under Richard Norris. And by all means, I appreciate all feedback, insights, and engagement, because I certainly get a lot out of the book. Every time I read it, I pick up something new and I go, wow, that's pretty good.
And that's the sign of a really good book, that you can read it, and every time you read it, there's something more to inspire you and something that maybe didn't catch your eye the same way it is now, and suddenly that lesson or that information is just front and center for you, so it's perfect.
Yeah.
Now, are you still swimming, being a triathlete? Are you still a veterinarian? It seems like you've shifted gears, and yet you have so many interests and so many talents.
Yeah, well, I left the veterinary profession behind 12 years ago. I did a couple of postgrads in internal medicine and ophthalmology, and just everything was pointing in the direction I needed to shift gears, using your expression. And I don't do that anymore, but those analogies and the experiences and stories are still there, as you pointed out, Dr. White. And so it's really been a career progressive journey of success. You know, a friend of mine said, you know, success or journey is the destination, and the destination is the journey. So it's really an interesting experience because I think in the generation, my children who are between the ages of 3 and 5, they say that generation will have 8 careers in the future, whereas our generation, they say, listen, you have 3 core jobs, whereas our parents' generation, it was a job for life. I've actually bucked the trend. I think I'm on my career number 4. So it's been an interesting journey, but I just go where God leads me, and I'm just about to go through another change. I've got a website right now, which people can certainly visit, drrichardnorris.com, but I'm just about to add another one, which is going to be mostly focused on leadership for men, because that's where I feel I'm being led to. So,
leadership for men, you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, in a nutshell, it's going to be leading men to be real men at work, rest, and play, and that implies across all the roles in their life. That's it essentially, in a nutshell, just creating real men out of to get real results and lead real lives with everything that they've got in their barrel, because unfortunately, I think a lot of men have lost their way, have not stepped up, and it's just about challenging them to actually step up to the mantle of responsibility.
You know, I think that's such a very pivotal book and topic. There are so many books for women and so many books that help women along their path and their journey. And I know that there are a few books for men, but certainly not enough. And certainly compared to the outgrowth of books for women, there's just so much. And so it's wonderful that you're doing that, because I think, like you said, there's a real, real need. So we've been talking to Dr. Richard Norris. Give the folks your website again and how people can get a hold of this incredible book, Hoof It, Seven Key Lessons on Your Journey of Success, Dr. Norris.
Sure. Yeah, you just drop by for the book. Just drop by Amazon.com and look under Hoof It, Seven Key Lessons on Your Journey of Success. You can also visit Facebook and find me under the letter U, the letter B, and then the word awesome, all one word. That's my initial page. My business page is Richard Norris Biz. You can find me under that. And my new website, my existing website is drrichardnorris.com. My new website will be up hopefully within the next couple of weeks. And look out for leadingmenonly.com.
Why do you think men have lost their way?
Just because of my own experience, you know, it's one of the things that when I was looking at the market, everything came back and said, you know, teach from your own position. And that's why my whole focus is self-leadership. And I think a lot of guys, from what I've seen, they're so driven by the whole career focus, they drop the ball. The analogy I use, Doc White, is, you know, most of us, we're juggling three balls. We're juggling our career. We're juggling, I'll take the normal heterosexual couples, I'll do it that way. You're juggling your family, and you're juggling your partner or your wife, in that instance, with the guys. And unfortunately, we're really good with the one ball, the career ball, and we get so focused on delivering on that one that what we don't realize is those three balls are made out of, two of them are made out of, one of them is made out of rubber, two of them are made out of glass. The career one's made out of rubber. If you drop that ball, you can pick it up. If you drop the other two, they can shatter or at least crack, and you've got to pick up the pieces. And sometimes you're playing against the grain. So it's really about ensuring that you're able to keep those in the flow at all times and ensuring that the guys that are out there realize that there's more to life than just sucking it up at work.
You know, I think that's great, and I think you're right. And so therefore, this book really speaks to just what you're saying, to the different aspects of a few and roles of a man's life, and it's certainly needed. So thank you, because I think that you have so much information, and I'm delighted that you have shared the show today, and people will get in touch with you at drrichardnorris.com. And again, folks, Hoof It, 7 Key Lessons on Your Journey of Success. Richard, thank you so much for being such a great guest.
No, thank you very much for investing the time and interest to have me share with your audience, and I hope they all get some value, and I'm sure they're all going to go out there and be awesome too.
Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Okay, thank you.
Folks, I think it's so important to go after whatever your dream is, and Dr. Richard Norris has spoken about success and given us a few keys, but there are more. He has 7 keys. One of my experiences that's really important in terms of success is to really stick to it. So what that means is that sometimes you can be so close to a goal or so close to getting what you want, and yes, you need the motivation, but if you don't have the perseverance, if you just don't stay with that goal, it may just not get done. You just may miss the boat. And so it's really important to keep that motivation going in spite of trials, in spite of something not working, and it's just really important to move forward and keep that goal, keep that dream strongly in your mind. And talking about dreams, my next guest is Debbie Dashinger, who's a 3-time best-selling author, and her new book is called Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, and it's for anyone who has a dream and wants to reach a goal. Debbie is also a radio personality, and she has a show called Dare to Dream that's a syndicated multi-award-winning program featured online and in news sources all around the world. She's a frequent guest on radio and television shows, an inspirational keynote and motivational speaker, and a spokeswoman on panels. Recently, Debbie emceed a Dialogues of the Heart live seminar with Don Miguel Ruiz, author of The 4 Agreements. Her abundant career path has also included a professional voiceover work and owning Debbie Darling Creations, a successful jewelry business. And Debbie currently uses her voice to live out loud and inspire others to dare to dream. And we are blessed to have her on the show, because she's going to really help all of us figure out how to hold on to that dream and to dream big. Debbie, are you there?
I am here, Dr. Joanne. Great to be here.
And it's such a pleasure to have you. You are such a kindred spirit in many ways, with also being an empath and an intuitive like myself. And so I feel connected to you, and I love what you're doing. You have such diversity. And as Dr. Richard Norris was talking earlier, many people go on to have very different careers, and you really exemplify moving and having careers and being successful in everything that you touch and everything that you do. So welcome.
Thank you so much. First of all, speaking of kindred spirits, you sound like you're from back east. So just listening to your voice, because I'm from New York originally, it feels like I'm at home with my girlfriend right now.
And I'm originally from New York, too, so my New York accent shows, huh?
It does. It's just the most beautiful lilt in the world.
Well, that's
because I have to say,
it's home.
It's home, and you recognize it a mile away. There is nothing
right.
like one New Yorker to the other, so it is so cool to be here. And I'm really glad you brought up the idea of embodying different careers to start with. As a matter of fact, I was being, well, not interviewed exactly, but earlier this morning, somebody was had a conversation with me because he's interested in featuring me in his magazine. And he was gathering information, and he said, you know, how did you end up in radio? And I laughed and told him the story because it's so incredibly unlikely that I would have ended up here. But in reflection, he said back to me, all I can hear is you stepped into an opportunity. Even though you didn't fully understand it, you went for it. And because of that, the way your life has unfolded has been miraculous. And I loved hearing that feedback because that is so much the story of many of my successes. And, of course, it's also the story of times when I missed opportunities to be successful because I said no, or I overthink it, or somehow couldn't show up for myself. So I think that's a big delineation between moving forward or sometimes getting stuck.
You know, I think that's so very important because many people have opportunities, and oftentimes, Debbie, it's fear, hesitation that holds them back from stepping into it. And like you, I never would have imagined being a radio host. That certainly wasn't my initial career or direction. And yet, when an opportunity calls, so I think it's brilliant, when an opportunity presents itself and you feel so connected to it and or just that it's something that you need to do, not even knowing why. And
yep.
It's wonderful that you've been able to do that because I think, like you said, that's really been successful for you. And also, you've learned from each of those opportunities to move forward into the next opportunity. And I think you take that learning aspect into each, and it helps you excel. So let's talk a little bit. Let's shift gears away from us, because all this is really for everybody else, too. But let's talk about, you talk about some secrets. I love that, some secrets for people to achieving their goals. So what are some secrets that you want to share with the listening audience today? And I just want to give them the number in case anybody wants to call to talk to Debbie or myself. It's 805-285-9790, and the lines are open.
Fantastic. Well, let's get into it. Let's get into the secret sauce here, because I really hope to help people. If anyone is interested in knowing more, please go get my book. It is priced really inexpensive because I want everybody to be able to know the steps to get there. It's called Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, Amazon or any bookstore. Okay, so to that end, what stops people is overwhelm, and there's a lot of different reasons why. I'll tell you, the most successful people have patterns, and there are nine that I'll talk about. The first one, and see where you, your listeners, fit into any of these, balance their energy. And what that means is when we're about to achieve a dream, there is action to be taken. I know a lot of us wish we could just create affirmations and it would come, and perhaps like a parking space, that could happen. But for something that is juicy or we're passionate about, actually it requires a treasure map, creating a map, creating action steps. There's techniques to do that. And we do have to do things almost on a daily basis to get ourselves there. But here's one of the secrets is we have to also know when to let go and detach. And it's like breathing, like putting it out there as the breath out, and taking the breath in is allowing there to be a co-creation, allowing the winds of the universe, of our angels and guides to step in and take over, because that's actually where the magic takes place. Our action is very earthbound, and we can create some wonderful, powerful things there. But it's really when we step back and let go of the dream, of the desire, of all of it, and just be, that those unseen friends who love us and really sometimes our divine destiny can step in and put us in places and opportunities that we would never have anticipated.
You know, it's really amazing. Last night I was teaching a class at Camden County College introducing people to their psychic, their intuitive potential, and telling people that, because I also work with guides and teach people how to access that information, but telling people that once you're able to tap in to that source, the information is infinite. It just keeps coming, and you get, it's as though you ask a question and the universe answers, and it just makes it such a responsive, such a fun experience to live in.
Yeah, it does. It makes life a really fun, surprising journey, and much better sometimes beyond our wildest dreams, what we would have anticipated. And it's really good to use all of what we were given, not just our alpha drive and our intellect to figure things out, but also our intuitive nature, our spiritual nature. And that is a true co-creation within ourselves and without ourselves. And another thing that people do who are very successful is they often are not focused on the fame or the result. They are often focused on just doing something they love. And by virtue of that, when they're in the right place doing the right things, amazing things happen. And a third thing, and this is so big, people, it's resilience. I'm going to tell you, and I'm right in there, anybody I know who's been very successful, and that's just in my life, masters that I've met who I know intimately know their story, the transformational giants, but also if you go through history, anyone you love and feel enamored with, Eleanor Roosevelt or Thomas Edison, anyone in history, you will see that they had an enormous amount of failure. But what they all had was an ability once they got knocked down. Of course, they stayed in the feeling, they let it out, they processed, but when it was done, they brushed themselves off, got back up, and said, you know what? This is really what I want. This is really what I'm passionate about. And by golly, I'm going to invent this, do this, be this, have this. And they got right back on the path. And what's beautiful is that at the end of the story, often they're humbled. You know, failure does humble us. It softens us. And I think that's necessary because at the end we're a more complete human being. So those are just three of the nine secrets or patterns of success, people.
And I think they're so important. I talk about resilience, too, because, you know, they're, like you're saying, Debbie, there's just something to, no matter what, yes, you've had a failure or you've had a setback or you've had a loss or something's not working, and I'm sure you've experienced that in your life. I know I have early on, and even today sometimes there are those setbacks. But like you said, if there's something that's so important, that's so much a part of you and that's so heart-driven, then you just don't wallow. Maybe you shed a few tears and you kind of brush yourself off, like you said, but you move forward. And I think you're so right that really helps those people move forward into their own success. Let's shift gears a little bit, because I know that we talked about you being an intuitive and an empath. What do you see that's going on with the planet right now and with us, and what's important for people to know?
Well, first, I want to say there's a tremendous amount going on with relationships. And you'll see that relationships are going to leave or stay now more than ever. And I think that's why we're seeing so many breakups, celebrity breakups and so forth, that it's a call for a couple of things. And that's why right now dreams and goals, friends, it's so important. Because what it is a call to step into the authenticity of who you are. We're here right now for a reason, and we're being called for a reason. So whatever your reason or purpose is, whatever it is your light, your gift, your talents that you're meant to put out in the world, it's not just for you. And isn't that great? That frees you up to put it out there, because it's not about, ooh, this is my gift and I'm scared. It's like, oh, this is for a greater good. There's a lot of people who need my gifts. So to that end, there's going to be a lot going on with relationships. And those that are not aligned with you and for you are going to fall away. And those that strengthen us are going to stay. We may see a little bit of, the word that comes up is drama. There may be a little bit of drama around relationships right now and how that's manifesting until it works out. And also, take a look at nature, because what goes on outside of us is a reflection of what happens inside of us.
Don't you think that everything is sort of a reflection of us that's going on? I mean, even other people are to some extent a reflection of you and me.
100%. Absolutely. That's what it's all about. You know,
great.
If life is an illusion and it's all quantum physics, that means that what I manifest in the inside is reflected on the outside on a small level, but also on a global / universal level. And when you look at nature, you know, we all know there's some funky things going on with the weather right now, right? Places that should be cold or hot. Places that usually rain haven't had rain. New York alone has had bizarre weather. California's had bizarre weather. All around the world, that's shifting. And then you also hear things like back east, the cherry blossoms, they're already blossoming, and that's unheard of in our history.
Not only that, Debbie, we've had butterflies in March. So along with the blossoms, there are these butterflies. I just saw one today, and it was below freezing yesterday because the weather is just so changeable. And I was talking to the butterfly and saying, I hope you make it. I really hope you go ahead.
Yeah, and you know, that's actually a call for humanity right now. I hope we all make it, because we're going through some very turbulent times. It doesn't mean they're bad times, but it does mean that there's a lot being thrown at us all at once, a lot of good, a lot of new, a lot of unrest, a lot of change. And if you resonate with that, I'd love to hear from you. But as within, so without. And what you see without in nature and in weather and in this planet is such polar change and new. And so if you're feeling that in the inside, you know, just breathe and it's okay. And we're all in this together. But this is the greatest time to pull together, to love one another, to be compassionate, to really work for peace and unity, and to really put your light out there. And when we do those things, we'll find much more ease and grace in our life. And that's my message for right now.
And you know, that's an incredibly important message. And many people are holding on to their fear. And I'm not saying to just totally let go of it, but I think when we join together, like you're talking, and really focus on peace, and I was just writing something yesterday about peace in my newsletter that's upcoming, but I think it's just so very important to shift that energy as you're talking about. And when we do, I think the fear also drops away, because like you said, we are here for a purpose. And I think it's an incredibly divine purpose. And stay tuned. But stay tuned with an open heart. Let's shift gears one more time, I think, because your book is all about dreaming and success and people make, you know, having their dreams, and everybody has dreams. Hopefully they do if you're alive. And I think what's so important is, well, okay, so we have this dream, but how does somebody make a dream come true? I think there are songs about that and stories about that. So you write about it and you speak about it. So let's hear from you, from the expert on daring to dream and making that dream come true.
Well, for those people who don't know what their dream is, and yes, they really do exist. They don't have clarity, and that's okay. You can either make a choice to step into, I'm going to live a spontaneous life, and I don't have to know what's in front of me as long as I'm happy. Or, and they're both acceptable, to be clear, or you can do some meditative work and just go inside and ask your soul, not your mind, but your soul, the question, what is it that I'm meant to do? What is it that I'm here to do? And just like me stepping into radio, which was a real surprise, you don't have to have the full answer. Sometimes an indication is enough, and the universe is very beautiful at leading us on these journeys that are so unexpected. So that's for those who don't know. And for those who do, and now the ones who don't know will line up with the ones who do once they have some clarity. The ones who do, also I always recommend the meditation, because there's something called the law of reversibility. And in quantum physics, the law of reversibility means thinking from the end forward. So first we want to just feel into our dream and see what that feels like, tastes like, looks like, and what kind of energy would there be around the dream? What kind of vision? What would it look like? And once you have a sense of how great that is and the kind of feelings you're in, then come back here to the present. And you also design your dream from the end forward. What I mean is, some people like to sit down and say, well, action steps. Okay, I want to open a new business, or I want to take a trip. That's my dream. So how do I do that? And there's a lot of challenge about thinking in a linear way like that. I don't think we're built to do that. So to keep it really easy, we think in reverse. And the law of reversibility teaches us that we look at the dream and then figure out all the steps working backwards. And
so it's almost like looking at something within a whole gestalt. You look at the whole picture of what it is that you're seeking, and really, like you're talking about, you utilize all those brilliant senses that we have to really get more impassioned and more clarity about that dream, and then access it in reverse. I think it's brilliant, and I think that that's a very powerful law. Tell us a little bit about some of your dreams and what you needed to do to move forward, maybe brush yourself off, and maybe you never had to.
No, I have. I absolutely have. One of my dreams at one point was my jewelry business. I had taken a jewelry class really just to do something fun, and found after one class I loved it so much that I couldn't stop making jewelry every night. And all of a sudden, in a couple of weeks, I'd amassed this enormous amount of jewelry that I was wearing, and people would come up and say, oh, where did you get that? And I'd say, oh, I made it. Can I buy it? And I went, I think so. I don't know. Maybe I can make you one. It was a big surprise to me. And then I thought, oh, you know, this was during the Renaissance of jewelry, before it was farmed out to the Targets and the Indias and the Chinas and so forth, but when real gems were being used. And I just stepped into this. I was really so full of myself. I went to one of the most popular expensive stores in Beverly Hills with my bag, met with the buyer and said, look, this is Debbie Darling Creations. You know, and she sees extremely professional high-end jewelers. And what was marvelous is she looked at my stuff and said, you know, you're very good, and I love this, and I'm going to task you with one thing. Go back and find your signature, and then come back and see me again. But Dr. White, I was so full of myself that instead I went out and went, I can't believe she didn't take my stuff. And a week later, I met with another store in Beverly Hills, and they took all my stuff and put it in five of their stores, and my business was born. And so for 7 years, I did that business. And let me tell you, because I was so green, I learned everything on my feet. So that's one very interesting success story. And as part of my success, on the flip end, towards the end of those 7 years, around the sixth year, my passion stopped. And it took me about a year for me to say, it's okay to let this go. It's okay to not be this anymore. It's okay to have done this successfully and move on to the next thing, whatever it is to be. And
you feel that you were led? Do you feel that you were led to do what you're doing now? And how? And if so, how did that come about?
Absolutely. The universe has a crazy sense of humor.
I know.
Right? They knew this. They knew that I was supposed to be here. Me? Not at all. I thought this was bananas. Really, I was an actress and a singer most of my life. That really, I was born to do that, loved doing that, did that in many mediums. And here's just a little 411, so this makes more sense. I was married at one point, and I was going through fertility treatments. And when you go through fertility treatments, they basically ask you to pull back from everything. And that's why there was a huge change in my life and a leave from entertainment and so forth. And that's why the jewelry started up. But on the flip end of that, I started doing voiceover. I got pegged to do some cartoon work. I loved it. And I was getting voiceover gigs, but I wanted to do more. And I had an agent, the whole deal, but I wasn't really clear how to promote myself. And I saw a job for radio, and I said, I know, I'll go on the radio, and everyone will hear my voice, and I'll get more jobs, which really isn't how it works in voiceovers, but I thought it was brilliant. And I didn't like radio at the time, and I showed up every week for 2 months doing a music show, and I wasn't enamored with it. But I kept telling myself, girl, you can leave any time. You don't have to be here. Just know there's the door, and I support you. At the end of those 2 months, the owners came to me and said, you know, we really like what you're doing. We think you're talented, and we want to give you your own show. In that moment, what poured out of me was, oh, dare to dream. This is all about people who are successful, have achieved their goals. This is how they got there. I want to shine a light on people. I want everyone to know they can do it too. They don't have to suffer. Or if they're just getting halfway, this is how to keep going. This is what my whole life is going to be about right now. So
isn't it amazing when you get that? Because we do. We get that in some aha moment that just is so expansive and it opens everything up.
It was tremendous to flow out of me like that, and yet I still didn't know. And one of my first radio interview guests, in fact, the very first, was a woman who channels, and she's brilliant. She left my studio and turned around and looked at me and said, you know you're meant to do this, right?
Mm.
No. And she said, and you know you're going to be on TV, right? And I said, no. It took me many years to fully get it. Why I was here doing what I'm doing. And just to finish this success, because I really want people to hear this piece, how awesome that I said yes to that opportunity and what has come to me. But the journey gets bigger. The paths branch off. So here I've written this book, and it's become a bestseller, and it's helping people. Some coaches write to me and say, this is required reading for my clients. Now I'm being called to speak. Now telesummits are coming up. Now there's panels. Now there's so many ways I'm being called, even as a contractor or an expert in what I'm doing. So the radio isn't the end-all be-all, but the message continues to find new ways that the universe creates for me and that I step into and accept to continue to get the message out there. And for that, I'm very grateful to be a vehicle.
And, you know, I think once you've said yes and that's really what you did. And maybe initially you said yes, well, not wholeheartedly, but you said yes and you stepped into it. That's when all those possibilities and all the doors open. And I think that's a great lesson for everybody else that we're talking, because you do, you have to sort of say yes. You have to step into something to really get more clarity and get the information that you need. Debbie, tell us how people can reach you. We have about two more minutes left, and I really want people to be able to get a hold of you and how they can find your show, Dare to Dream, and tune into that.
You can go to my website. Thank you so much. Yes, please join me. My website is deborahdashinger.com. It's spelled D-E-B-O-R-A-H-D as in David, A-C-H-I-N-G-E-R, deborahdashinger.com. And, of course, I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Dare to Dream Radio and TV. And the book, easiest, just flip to Amazon. And it's called Dare to Dream, This Life Counts. And I hope everyone will remember there really is brilliance within each of us. And it's the time now to go live, to play, to explore, and to follow our passion. Really, you are put here for a reason, and we need you.
And that's such a great message. And like you said, we all have gifts. And it's really about not saying, oh, what do I have to offer, because each one of us is so unique and, as you're saying, has so much to offer. And you're right. You're so right. Now is the time to share those gifts. And it's not just about you, as you say, Debbie. It's about everyone. And when you share those gifts, you're really helping someone else. So with that, I just want to thank you so much for sharing your gifts and your knowledge and your glowing light with all of the listeners, and taking time out from your incredible day to be with us and to help people on their journey of dreaming.
Thank you. It was really an honor to be here. Much love.
Much love to you, and thank you so much. You're a gift in and of yourself to the world. So thank you, and have a blessed day.
You as well.
Thanks. Folks, I just want to make sure that you know that next week we're doing a totally different journey, and we're talking about the adventures in midlife. And we have Frankie Picasso, who's going to be talking about her book called Midlife Mojo, How to Get Through the Midlife Crisis and Emerge as Your True Self. And I don't know if there's a midlife crisis, but we'll find out. Some people say yes, some people say no. What I know is that it just keeps getting better. And we also have Carol Doyle, who is an online magazine and resources for women 50+. And she is going to talk about empowering women who are 50+ to be who they are created to be. So tune in for that, and tune in to find out more about you and more about how to power your life. There are so many ways to power your life, and as Debbie's saying today, one of the ways to do that is to dare to dream and to hold that dream in your heart and forward, and to do what it takes and to make it happen, think in reverse. And with Dr. Richard Norris, who talked about your journey of success with his Hoof It, and really talking about that one of the key ways to get to success is to really figure out how to have resilience and stick-to-itiveness and motivation. So keep your passion alive, keep your dream alive, empower your life, and thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Joanne White. You can reach me at drjoannewhite.com and on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter, and it's been a pleasure to share the day with you.
Been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with your host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the upbeat show to grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again by visiting divatoolbox.com and blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.